Full of Sound and Fury is a podcast for adults, by adults, containing adult language. Listener discretion is advised. Eli Manning, Donald J. Trump, and baseball. Which one was the biggest shit show?
Oh, I think Trump takes the cake. I've never seen Hillary Clinton so happy.
He gropes the cake. Let's be serious here.
Oh, God, there's such a cornucopia of jokes. I don't know how Saturday Night Live can pick one.
Yeah.
Boy, they've been killing it the last 2 weeks. They're having to bring in outside help, but kind of the Alec Baldwin playing the DH.
Right.
He's killing it.
Well, as you said, there's just so much material to run with.
Oh, not 30 seconds ago, there was a question about Russia, and somehow it ended up with Donald Trump talking about how good his bankroll is. Oh, no, I did it. It was an amazing segue.
Oh, God.
Hillary looks so happy.
Well, she just has to be there and let him like hang himself.
Yeah, all she has to do is not like grab somebody by the cock. If she can avoid grabbing any cocks between now and the presidential election, or Sealed. Saying she will grab a cock, I'm pretty sure she's got this in the bag. And that's a real statement.
Yeah, 2016, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, man.
What does it take to get a woman to be president? Let me tell you what it takes for a woman to be president. It's the dumbest world we live in. It's amazing.
Oh. Okay. That's a great opening. I think we just kind of backed our asses into, so I'm going to leave that in. But
uh-oh, something happened.
Yeah, they just like zoomed all the way into Hillary's nose. That's some good live TV we're watching.
Well, no, it's so we can see her brain, like, you know, melt.
Slowly leak out, yeah.
Oh, what a great night. I got to change it from this. There's no way I can yeah, podcast and watch this shit show at the same time.
Well, America, as you may have gleaned from this cold open, you're listening to Full of Sound and Fury podcast, recording during the quote-unquote second presidential debate. We elected to talk to you rather than to watch that.
Oh, yeah. It didn't take long.
I don't think it requires any explanation. Oh. I'm Cyrus Mordezavi of Kirkland, Washington, podcaster, artist, human being. With me tonight is the fastest podcaster alive, Ariel Rodriguez.
Why, thank you. Hello.
Also with me tonight, here to save this city, is Keyshawn Xavier.
Oh, that's been going through my head a lot this last week.
So again, well, we're not watching the debate. We did, however, watch some badass television, and that's what we're actually going to talk about tonight. Because everything else makes it sad.
Yeah, I'm with you there.
Are you talking about the Cowboys game?
No, that was excellent.
Oh yeah, it was.
That was shockingly excellent.
I can't remember a game that we dominated so thoroughly.
It's been a while.
It's been a long time.
Jason Garrett's on a roll. These are words I never thought I'd say, but if I'm going to kill the guy in the public domain when he's been terrible, the fair thing to do is like congratulate him when he's been doing well.
I'd have to ask you, when Romo gets healthy, what would you do?
It's tough, right? And it's also like the greatest first world problem to have.
Yes, absolutely. They were even talking about that on the show.
too many good quarterbacks. Oh God, what do we do? I don't know. They're doing some things offensively where Prescott that are built around Prescott's mobility.
Uh-huh.
Where if Romo attempts that, you know, he'll just crumple.
That's right. There's no option when you have Romo. Literally.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I'm just right now enjoying the fact that the season is not horrible. and the fact that, you know, Prescott is not only going to be look like a backup, but he looks like he is the future.
So are you saying
and they don't have to rush Romo back from a vertebral fracture?
So you're saying that you would grab Prescott right by the pussy?
Wow.
Well, the Bengals tried to do that with Ezekiel Elliott today. It just didn't work.
Yeah, they did. Zeke was right by him. They're just grasping it at midair, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, no, it was a good win. It seems like Texas did okay at Red River Shootout.
Well, it matters on how low your standards are.
I mean, they didn't win, but, well.
Right. I mean,
how many kids are locked? Six, seven?
Exactly. Again, how low a standard can you have below? How many kicks did we let be blocked?
Yeah.
That's pretty down there.
Yeah.
Nah, they were better than they were in the previous weeks. We had turnovers. They haven't had any turnovers all season. And they were doing some tackling. I wouldn't say that they were consistently tackling.
They considered tackling.
Yeah, yeah. They actually, like, stopped them on third down a few times, more than a few times. That was nice. But it was still not the best thing in the world.
I'm so scared to listen back to our last podcast where we previewed all this stuff. I don't think we got anything right.
About what?
About football in general, anywhere, everywhere. Oh,
that's been a given my entire life. I didn't know that was the standard of which I was being held.
We were right that KC was going to be bad. I think that's about it.
Wait a minute. I think you had a good finger on Oakland.
I don't know. They've been winning a lot of 34 to 31 games against bad teams.
Yeah, but they're not at the bottom, I guess.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, that's true.
I think you called that one. Yeah. But let's see. Arizona, I don't know what the hell to think of them. Philadelphia, I don't know what the hell to think of them. There's a whole lot of teams that I don't know what the hell to think of them. Atlanta comes to mind.
I'd like to congratulate Von Miller on achieving Bonkai. That's why I didn't realize Denver was going to be that good again. But he's just like, nah, I'm the best defensive player now. That's just how this is going to work.
Denver collapsed today.
They lost a one-possession game to a pretty good Atlanta team.
Well, aren't they a pretty good Atlanta team? They were struggling against the Saints. I don't understand.
Well, they still have no defensive talent. They're kind of like like Dallas, actually.
I'd agree. Yeah, I would agree. Heck of a running game.
Yeah. We're all like avoiding talking about the Dolphins.
Yeah, look, the less said about that, the better.
I know. You know what though? You guys have a coach. You got something to
build
on.
That's a start.
It is a start. And, you know, Tannehill will be gone at the end of the year.
Well, did you see the post-game press conference with Miami's coach talking about Tannehill?
I did.
He's not going anywhere. He's going out there.
Yeah, look, that's what
he was punishing your class.
The dreaded vote of confidence. I mean, what are the other options? Is Matt Moore still the backup there?
I have no idea.
It's probably not even knowing.
I think you're right. There aren't any other options.
All I know is Charlie Whitehurst. Cleveland is down to its fourth string quarterback who has a man bun.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
He played about as well as you would imagine a fourth string quarterback with a man bun would play.
I'm thankful for Cleveland. You know, I'm in a pick'em league, and that's the only thing I can get right this year.
Cleveland will lose.
I'm like a hound looking for Cleveland whenever I'm doing my picks for a week. Where are they? There it is.
I gotta say though, I hope Dez Bryant never gets healthy. I'm enjoying him as the blue arrow on the sidelines.
The hoodie. It's good. That's some, keep it going.
That's some good shit.
Yeah.
I love it. It's completely irrelevant to anything beyond the fact that it's just kind of awesome.
Yes. He's just over on the side cheering it up.
Yep. Just watching Ezekiel run. Dak, Dez, and Zeke. That is a Star Wars cast.
I'm pretty sure those were the pilots in Empire Strikes Back. If you'd started that, if you'd have brought those names to me 5 years ago,
Rogue Two, a Star Wars story. Is that going to be movie of the year?
Rogue One.
Yeah.
I don't know. Well,
the bar's been pretty low, unless Doctor Strange kicks ass.
Which I think it will.
Yeah, I've got good hopes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, Zootopia and Deadpool are the best movies I've seen thus far.
Was Deadpool this year?
Yeah.
Yeah.
February. Oh, I'll take it back. Okay.
Valentine's Day, remember?
That was a good one. I'm sorry. Yeah, that was good stuff.
Civil War also came out this year, unless we forget.
Oh, damn.
Very true. Very true.
Yeah, that was good too. Mm-hmm. I don't know that Rogue One will be better than Civil War.
Yeah, you know that there's all these rumors swirling around that the movie was too dark for Disney and they're doing reshoots to lighten the mood or match the style a little more of Force Awakens. I'm not sure how true that is or how necessary that should be, frankly. I mean, let the movie be whatever the movie is, but so be it. Those are the rumors swirling around.
Listen, they put Forest Whitaker in there. They knew what they were doing.
Yeah. Hey, you know Black Panther now has Forrest Whitaker on the cast?
Oh, yeah, it does.
Yeah.
It's the year of Forrest.
Although this Forrest year's Whitaker been amazing, but I don't know if it's Forrest Whitaker's year.
Just wait.
All right. Well, let's just I guess chronologically for these TV reviews makes as much sense as anything. So sure. Westworld started. Oh, that's what I have to watch tonight. I just remembered. Shit.
I haven't seen it at all. So.
Oh no! Really?
Yeah.
Nope.
Oh wow! All right. I got a one man this one then. So. Key, I'm not surprised you haven't because you usually won't watch like the best shows on television. Like somehow the only thing on of AMC's you watch is The Walking Dead.
Well, it's comic related, so that's how I
yeah. No, listen, it's fine. Like you're not alone. It's a good show, I'm sure. But God, I mean they have like
I probably would have added it, but for I am binging every spare opportunity to watch Luke Cage.
Mm, fair enough.
Me too. I'm not done yet, but soon.
Yeah.
So well, you know what?
Chronologically, Cage came out first. Maybe we start there.
All right.
Wait a minute, really? I thought Cage came out like a week and a half ago.
Yeah.
Has it been that quick? Oh, damn.
Yeah.
Sweet Christmas.
Oh. Amen to that. I'm only about like episode 6 or 7, so I've only got about halfway through, I think.
Oh, actually, that reminds me. Two things for the listeners real quick. we're going to talk spoilers, but I think we're just going to try and talk about these first episodes. So if you haven't seen the first episode of Luke Cage, Westworld, The Flash, Arrow, don't listen to this right now. It's very simple.
Or the presidential debate. Or
correct.
The presidential debate.
You know what? Don't listen to that at all.
There's no spoiler. There's no spoiler.
We're going to spoil it.
You know how
it
went.
Spoil it.
Yeah, for real. Or the Giants Packers game. And secondly, like our Chappelle Show review, Luke Cage is going to necessitate use of the N-word. I apologize in advance. This is for the purposes of the Elastic review. We're not hateful people. We're not racist. We have two ethnic white guys and a honky who goes by the name of Keyshawn. So,
I didn't know where I fell.
we're down with the brother man, so it's okay. It's an ugly word. We get it. We just, it's in the show. It might get dropped from time to time for the purposes of the quotation. Okay. And in broadcast there. Okay. So you've seen 6 of them, Key?
Yep.
Okay. And Errol, you've seen?
I've seen 11, I want to say now.
Oh, wow. Okay. So
oh,
most of
them. Shit.
I have seen 2. Done.
Luke Cage is a bad motherfucker. Let's start with that hypothesis. Yeah.
And just go from there. All right, you have 3 minutes for your rebuttal.
I just want to say he is the enemy of couches everywhere.
Okay, yeah, that's true, yeah.
And car doors.
Yeah.
And guns. Yeah, I think he hates guns.
How do we feel about Genghis Khan? Was that in poor taste?
That was beautiful. You know, I didn't even catch it, and my wife spotted it, and then she pointed to me. I was like, oh, bravo, that's beautiful.
I mean, it made me chuckle, but it was like, I don't know if I should feel good about laughing about that.
I will say, though, like, and this is not my own thought. I read this somewhere, but it resonated with me, and I agree with it in that how refreshing, although it's the restaurant's Genghis Khan's, how refreshing is it to have an Asian couple that don't have a stereotypical Asian accent? They're American. They sound like Americans. Like, that's pretty good. That's pretty cool, I got to say. Like, I appreciated that.
I didn't even notice.
Yeah, because they're, you know, like every other, you know, like, or a lot of Asian Americans, not everyone, but like a lot of them, they've been around for a while. They don't have an accent. What's the big deal? That's why go with the stereotype? I thought that was pretty cool.
Yep. Yeah. And the husband wasn't all that broken up when shit started going down. Yeah, all things considered, he was a remarkably calm man.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I'll give you that.
I can't remember if Cyrus is only on two episodes, what he has seen of Genghis Khan yet.
Well, there's the showdown in the first episode of in their Hurt restaurant when he throws someone through the window, which is pretty good stuff.
Oh yeah, he hates windows too.
The technical term, I believe, is collateral damage.
Yeah. Especially to his clothes. Holy shit.
Yeah, he's also really angry at never having like a solid, like a fully contiguous shirt after a while.
Yeah, he is seriously missing the unstable molecule outfit that Reed Richards would offer if if Paramount would just let go of their rights. He's suffering most right now in all the Marvel Universe at that.
No. Ruffalo, man.
Oh, Ruffalo.
He's got a condition. Yeah. That's a really good point. Those things are relative on this podcast. But the inability to, like, have Reed as, you know, their cosmic tailor.
Right.
Is really an issue for these guys.
Yeah, for real, considering how broke he is. Yeah. You know, particularly at the start. I mean, he's broke as shit.
Yeah.
And the man needs clothes. Needs them all.
He needs a sponsorship, man.
It ain't a small thing. Not at all.
He's a big guy, too. He's definitely in the big and tall section.
Yeah.
Mike Coulter is built like a fucking brick shit house.
Yes.
And I mean, especially later in the series, I think it's easier to get an appreciation for it. He's a good actor, man. He like really sells.
Oh, yeah.
For what Luke is, like, man, could not have picked a better person, I don't think.
How do we feel about Simone Missick as Misty Knight?
I think the bitch got some big old titties.
Wow, getting stuff started off.
No. Listen, I'm glad he did it because I was
sorry.
About to.
That was actually the introduction to Misty Knight. And then they went and made her awesome. But my God, if it wasn't just, let's get this right out of the way.
No, listen, Aaron and I had a conversation about her chest during the first episode.
Wow.
How'd that conversation go?
Well, it was.
Was it, that bitch got some big old titties?
It was a little more nuanced than that.
Oh, I was
maybe
wondering.
About 3% more nuanced. But she is very top heavy. And I think they're real.
No,
because they don't hang like fake ones do, like, you know, typical Hollywood boobs.
I figured she was wearing a green bra and they just like edited.
Wow.
Do they? I had never considered that. Do they do that?
Yeah. No, I have no idea. But wouldn't it be awesome if they did?
Would change Anne Hathaway's career trajectory.
Oh man, no! I would have gone with what's her name from Keira Knightley.
Sure.
They'd make like 10 more Pirates of the Caribbean movies.
Well, they're actually, you know, number 5's coming.
Yeah.
I wonder if they've done that yet. A green bra, man. All right, America, speak up. Let us know.
Okay, let's go the other direction, so to speak. Do you think Game of Thrones has had a green dong? Or maybe Outlander?
If it were a fake dong, would it be
oh no no
affect
I mean,
the rating? Would it affect the rating?
Oh, absolutely.
Really? If it was fake versus real?
Oh, I see what you're saying. I thought you were a male versus female genitalia.
Oh no! I meant like if you have a fake dong on there instead of a real one. I guess our example would have to be that food movie that came out this year.
Oh, I was going with Dr. Manhattan.
Oh yeah, there you go.
It was just behold.
That was years back. That didn't get an R rating, did it?
Oh, yeah, it absolutely did.
Was R. Yeah, that
was R. I think he actually had to recut it to get it under NC-17.
You mean really? Literally?
I believe so. I may be misremembering.
He had to cut the dong?
Oh. No, he's not Jewish.
Are you sure? Wow. That might have been what the rating board said. Dr. Manhattan can't be Jewish.
Oh, just like, oh, Mazel Tov, Dr. Manhattan.
You know, I never thought about the fact that there were some digital editors that had sit there and spend hours and
hours. How about that job? You think it pays like really well because you can only do it for so long, or is it like?
Do you think like your sexuality would affect your editing of it?
You know, it's like those FBI guys that have to sit there and looking at the utter dregs and garbage filth of the internet to find criminals.
Uh-huh.
They get psychologically affected by it, and they can only do it for so long.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Not to that degree, but, you know.
Or for as noble of a purpose. It's just making a shitty Zack Snyder movie.
Do you think they like got the real dong and like put little dots all over it so they can digitally map it?
This is going way too far.
Well, they obviously did something. There ain't no blue dongs out there, gentlemen. America.
Has a reasonable chance of being correct. Hang on, I'm checking fact checker here.
You think somebody just put it like a blue filter on it and said, fuck it, just leave it?
I don't know.
Maybe they'll buy it.
My universe is expanding exponentially as we have this conversation. I've lost sight of the topic, though.
What a world we would live in if there were, like, titty caps that are green that you, like, put on the boob so you can then digitally enhance the boobs.
Well, hell, I mean, they should just do that for fucking Jennifer Lawrence so she doesn't have to get painted for 12 hours.
Yeah, they can do it for all of them.
You know what I mean?
For everybody. Double like, D's for the world.
Hey, man, maybe not everyone's into that. Maybe, you know... You can go both ways. It's CG, right?
I don't think that world exists.
You don't live in that world?
He doesn't want to live in that world. That's what I was trying to say.
Oh.
I know this isn't real, but the Matrix is telling me that these are large and supple. Ignorance is bliss. Anyways.
So, yeah, outside from that, Misty Knight is awesome.
I do wish they had taught her how to shoot a basketball. That actually kind of bothered me.
I guess.
But she made the shot.
Yeah, and apparently that was her in the heels on the day.
Really? Because that was – listen, I've played with female basketball players that are good, and they don't shoot like that.
Yeah, well, you know. Well, she didn't go pro.
No, I wouldn't imagine. I
didn't
like that they tried to keep her a secret who she was. That was kind of an interesting, a fun intro.
Yeah, I agree.
So is it the darkest series from Marvel thus far?
I think
that still has to be Jessica Jones, right?
Jessica Jones and Daredevil in different ways, I would say for sure.
Yeah, I don't get the same dark. I was going to say the same darkness out of this show. That sounds terrible.
Wow.
Darkness.
Darkness. Hey, I stopped myself and then went on.
Oh, it's fun. It's just a reference. I don't think that should offend anybody. But I've been wrong before.
Good. It's been good. Enjoyed the hell out of it so far.
Yeah.
I'm a little skeptical about Iron Fist.
Have you seen the trailer?
Yep.
Yeah, it's too early to tell, I feel, but some of the stuff in there got me excited. So
I need that to be good.
Yeah, it better be good. I mean,
there's too much rich mythology for it not to be badass.
Yeah, Matt Fraction laid all the groundwork for these people.
Yeah, see, I never read those.
Oh, dude.
Oh, they're so good. It's him and Brubaker.
Well, I want to get the omnibus, but it's $500 online, so I've got to wait for him to republish it.
Just get your hands on it any way you can, because it's worth reading, really.
Well, to your query, Key, if it is coming out next year on Netflix, there's probably a reprint coming.
Yeah, true.
Oh God, you're right. Oh, good deal.
Look at that cross marketing saving us again.
There we go. Yeah, it comes out in March.
Yeah,
and assumedly Defenders later in the year.
Yeah, makes sense. Yeah, I the first episode I was very meh on, but I really have enjoyed. I enjoyed the second one quite a bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the first one was kind of teeing things up.
Yeah, yeah.
But I've liked what they've done with it, and I've enjoyed Cottonmouth.
Yeah, and you know there are a few twists in there too that I was surprised to see. So, like you know, the storytelling is just really solid, really really solid.
The acting has been really good.
Yeah, man. I mean, again, Misty and Luke and Pop and all everyone just
the villains have a lot of depth. Almost actually to the point where I'm comfortable referring to them as, you know, quote unquote villains. They're antagonists.
Oh, yeah. If you're thinking that in episode two, just wait till you get a little further.
Okay.
Well, and I was telling someone the other day, like,
you're right.
You know, like Cottonmouth is one of the few like villains antagonists that like smiles and laughs like legitimately. Like he doesn't feel like he's like, it feels like he thinks he's the hero of his own story. You know, mm-hmm. He sells that more. I feel that actor Mahershala Ali than other villains in the recent past and other shows.
I'm excited to see Alfre Woodard again.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's been a long time since First Contact came out.
Well, she was, you know, she was at the beginning of Civil War and playing a completely different character.
Right.
Than this.
Right. I kept on thinking it was going to be the same one.
Yeah, I guess not. Maybe they're twins or something. I don't know.
I missed her. Honestly, I didn't recognize her because it's been so long and she's older until I saw her name in the credits the second time in between like Malcolm X Boulevard seven times.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
What is that about?
Malcolm X Boulevard? It's in Harlem.
Oh, but why do they keep showing it over and over again in the opening montage?
It's like, well, they're all the different streets are on his, like, are kind of superimposed on his body, like the major streets like Lenox and Malcolm X and...
Okay.
I don't know if the
it seemed like that one was disproportionately represented. That's why I was confused.
I don't know.
I think it goes with the subject matter.
Oh, for sure.
Probably, sure. Yeah. And that's a major street in Harlem. My little brother lived in the vicinity, or he lived technically in Harlem for about a year when he was going to grad school. So
I will never forget that story.
It's legit though. We were talking about it. He's like, yeah, all those streets, everything. It's fully legit, looks real in terms of the look and the feel and the placement of you know, scenes and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. How do you guys feel about them choosing to use the N-word? Were you surprised?
Nah.
Disappointed? Shocked?
Kinda. Because there's part of me that's like, I want to watch all these with my kids. And then
I'm like, that ship sailed with Daredevil season one. I think the 7-minute mark.
Yeah, it's a constant thing of, okay, that's going to push it back another 2 years before I can watch it with my kids. Or this will push it 3 years?
Back. Man, I ain't old enough to watch some of this shit yet.
No. I don't mean 2 years from now. I mean 2 years from whatever threshold I was thinking they'd be able to watch it.
Yeah. I mean, I think just what this show confronts and tackles in terms of subject matter wise and identity and all that, it had to be in there. I feel like they tackle it. I thought, you know, from my own limited perspective, I really appreciated the way they address it so far anyway.
The way Luke Cage addresses it is great.
Yes.
When he's standing there looking at that gun, I don't think Cyrus has seen that one yet. But
no.
Luke Cage addresses the shit out of it.
Isn't it season two? Or excuse me, episode two?
He gets
real mad when it's one of those setups where the beginning of the episode is I'm spoiling the second episode. My apologies.
Maybe
so I'll try to be vague, but it's one of those episodes where the opening is the same as the ending, same scene.
Yeah. That's it.
Is that what you guys are referencing?
Was that episode two?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Where he goes on his thing about Crispus Atticus being the first American.
Yep.
Yeah, especially in these political times, as we've hinted at in our pre-show, I think you kind of have to go there or it's false.
Yeah.
They've done a good job of not turning it into Oz or The Wire, but
yeah.
Well, it's got a little bit of that DNA in it, you know. I want to say,
mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
And there's some cameos. I'm not going to spoil who or what or where, but there's at least one cameo from someone from The Wire that was really well done, I feel.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so there's some of that DNA in there, I feel, and even some of the plot structure and some of the way they address like the role of the cops and stuff. I feel like it borrows some ideas from The Wire.
Yeah, I'm enjoying it. I think for sheer ballsiness, I still think Jessica Jones takes that cake.
Yeah,
they've got into some deep psychological trauma shit there with that show. It's central to that narrative, and they were
it's a different narrative afraid. Here.
So we'll see what Iron Fist brings. I mean, it seems like Daredevil is more of a straightforward action thriller type of mm-hmm. plot, but I think Jessica Jones and Luke Cage both tackle some larger social issues.
Yeah.
So I'm curious what Iron Fist will do. Will it tackle yet another, like a fourth or third social issue? Or will it?
There's not enough kung fu in the world?
Well, look, as a master of kung fu, I will say that this is true. However, I don't think that's a major issue.
Well, that's all my,
do you have like a diploma that says that?
Yes, I do.
That's amazing. So, now, can you what do you have to do to get your doctorate?
There is no doctorate. That's
oh,
it.
Okay.
That's
kick ass.
You get a doctorate in the streets? I don't know. I want to say something like that.
Doctorate, right. A doctorate of kung fu. That's incredible.
Why don't you invent a school that gives out a doctorate in kung fu?
You know, a lot of people do kind of stuff like that, but
the Immortal University.
You know, you can give out whatever certificate you want. There's no standards body. There's no, you know,
sweet
certification.
Sweet. Yeah, all right. I want a doctorate in kung fu.
You can print yourself one out and buy yourself a black belt online, and you're good to go.
But and, you don't actually know kung fu in that scenario. Yeah.
However, this is the truth. This is the truth.
I want to be like Neo and just be like, I know kung fu.
Oh.
Speaking of, have y'all seen the John Wick 2 trailer?
No, I haven't yet.
Oh,
I've been busy all weekend. I just
Morpheus and Neo back together.
Really?
Yeah, I'll have to watch that.
Oh,
Fishburne, good stuff.
Yes. Yeah. But
okay, so in the week that was TV wise, I guess that brings us to Westworld.
Oh yeah, back to Westworld.
So I guess I'm to Westworld. Yeah, let me sell you guys on this show. It's excellent, and we just came off of a really good Game of Thrones season, their best one yet, and what I was thinking was the best series of the year. Westworld looks like it might even end up being better.
Whoa,
Westworld is like it makes you think. Like it doesn't just have great characters and great acting. Like it's tackling like some super hardcore themes, and it's thought provoking as hell.
Wow.
It's yeah, like in a way that.
Does it have a bald cowboy?
A bald cowboy. Ed Harris is thinning, but okay. No.
talking about okay. like Yul Brynner. Like what are we?
Yes. that's my only recollection and my only tie to Westworld is the old.
Yeah, maybe it's worth going back to that. So Westworld is a 73 film by Michael Crichton, who was, before he became a novelist, was a failed filmmaker.
Huh.
Which is why Westworld's premise is so similar to Jurassic Park.
Oh.
Yul Brynner is a cowboy because that's what he did for most of his career post Magnificent Seven. And he's a robot cowboy that goes amok, a character known as the Gunslinger. That character does exist in a television show as well, played by Ed Harris, but he appears to be a person this time. Huh. I'm not sure where they're going with that. That's one of the many mysteries of it. I'm tempted to compare it to Lost in terms of just like how layered and nuanced it is, but I feel like it's got a gear past that.
Huh.
Lost was really just, you know, pure, you know, structure and all the, you know, all those fun things you can do with that, and done really, really well. Don't get me wrong, but Westworld is really delving into what it means to be human, and what it means to be not human, and the relationship between those two things.
Hmm.
And it is really well acted to the point where you're like, these humans really look like they're robots that are pretending to be human. Like it's amazing.
Huh.
The cast and crew is stellar from top to bottom. Abrams is the producer. Oh, Nolan, Jonathan Nolan is the showrunner.
Oh,
oh shit.
So he went from person of interest to this. That's interesting.
Correct. Yeah. Yeah. It's somewhere in between there. He found time to write Interstellar.
Oh, right. Yeah. Lest we forget.
Yeah. Dude's talented. Yeah. Huh. And it's super deep and sciencey, just like those aforementioned things are. But except now it's got HBO behind it.
Man.
Okay, I'm going to entice you guys further. Episode 4 is to be written by Ed Brubaker.
You got to be kidding me, man.
No. No, dude. Anyone who's anybody was invited to this thing.
Wow.
That's
it's
awesome.
It's quite the barbecue.
How many episodes in the season?
I believe it's going to be 9 or 10.
Okay.
And you know it's HBO, so they show the hell out of things. So if you want to catch up, it should be real easy.
Oh, I've got the app, yeah. The service.
Mm-hmm.
It's cool. Yeah, I got to catch up.
Yeah, it's excellent. Yeah, I think I'm going to leave it there because there's some really interesting stuff that happens in that first episode. And if you guys haven't seen it, I don't want to spoil it.
Oh, well, as soon as we get through Luke Cage, that's on my list.
Oh, I'm going to stamp the dong warning on it, though, since we kind of talked about that earlier. Lots of dongs.
All right. Real or digitally edited?
I don't know.
Is it live or is it Memorex?
What?
Wow. Classic. Man.
Yeah, no, it's definitely where I gander. I was excited for it, and then it kind of blew my fucking mind.
Man.
So, yeah. Make sure to make time for that one. Which brings us on to The Flash, Season 3, Episode 1.
Flashpoint.
Ariel, you take point on this. You were the first one of us to realize The Flash was awesome.
Yeah, you know, I'm kind of happy and kind of disappointed that they didn't spend more time. So straight up spoiler right away. They didn't spend more time in the Flashpoint version of the universe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, wow, in and out. Like, yeah, there are consequences, and so it's not quite the same universe we were in, blah, blah, blah. But, like, really? Like, they didn't even – like, it was one episode arc, in and out, done, one and done?
Yeah, what happened to the Barry that was there?
The Barry – oh, I guess he replaced him, right? Or he was always that Barry, and his brain was just messed up or something, right?
Yeah. I don't know.
It's like one of those weird plot things that they're just not going to bother talking about. Right. I'm guessing.
Or maybe he becomes a time remnant we see later down the road in the season.
Could be.
To me, this was one more reality where Iris West is preferable to the Iris West in the actual.
Well, and we don't know now what the new Iris West is like.
Yeah, we're getting an Iris 2.0. So
that's right. That's right. Yeah. Apparently she's a bitch who doesn't talk to her dad.
She's not bad with her father.
Yeah, so that was not what I expected them to, like, leave, like, to, like, change, you know? Like, one of those things that they tweaked.
Right, right, like,
okay,
yeah.
Well, I guess we'll see where this goes.
Yeah.
It was cool to see Wally do his thing.
Mm-hmm.
It was interesting to see, like, the bad guy, the rival. He was just like, yeah, we're not going to fucking do this thing where we spend the whole season trying to figure out who the hell this guy is. Take the mask off. See episode 1.
Thank God.
Get it done.
Yeah, that. Why does every single bad guy that's the main bad guy have to dress like the Flash?
Yeah, that's a good question. I was thinking that too, actually, while I was watching the show, the episode. I'm like, really, man? Another one?
Yeah, I mean,
other powers?
Call yourself the Roadrunner and dress up as something else.
His Flash or his Speed Force voice sounded a lot like I'm blanking on the actor's name now, but I thought they were going to move to a reveal where he was Jay Garrick.
Oh, like John Wesley Shipp.
Yeah, yeah. There you go. Thank you. And yeah, because he kind of had the same build too.
Unmasked.
Mark Webb.
Mark Wahlberg.
Oh, okay. Oh God.
Kind of look a little like him.
I literally cannot think of anyone I would want to see in that role less than Mark Wahlberg.
I'd be so happy. It'd be so awesome.
A masshole Flash. Oh, God.
Oh, my God.
bring some gravitas.
They should call him that too, the mass hole. That's like his name.
That's right. Everything just slows down around him.
He someone told him to go push himself, so he did.
Yeah, right.
The speed of light.
I'm putting this universe in my rear view. What?
Yeah. I'm putting this whole timeline in my rear view.
Jesus God. This is either the best idea we've had or the worst one. I can't tell.
I don't know. I think digitally enhanced titties is pretty good.
Yeah, it's better than a mass hole.
Oh, God.
I don't know. I think mass hole, you could work wonders with that.
Yeah, so it was like kind of a weird episode because everything that they did, like kind of they just sucked all those character versions of those characters out at the end. And so like we kind of get a freebie episode almost where he has to reboot again. So like you don't know what the new place is like.
I will say this. The best part of that entire show was when Sisko shot the basketball.
and missed.
Y'all, and not only did he miss, but then he throws his hands up in the air just like, yeah, fucking typical. I mean, that nailed, it was like, oh, that's still Sisko. All the writing you could have done, and they nailed Sisko to the wall with that. Fancy and all the money in the world, and he throws a basketball and completely misses, and that was perfect.
I really enjoyed Reverse Flash, actually, relishing him being asked to kill his mother. I thought that was the money moment of that episode.
Yeah, that's true. That was the most solid.
Yeah.
You know,
I want you to say it.
Yeah.
I'm going to say something weird, but I think he looks better with the scruffy beard that he had than all of a sudden when they took him back to the other timeline and he's clean shaven. He just looks like a pudgy old man.
You think so?
Yeah. I know pudgy old men.
I don't know that I have that in my quiver, but I also remember thinking, yeah, he looks scarier that way.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
It's the most I've liked him in that role.
Yeah, definitely.
Now, part of it was, you know, why can't I remember actors' names on this episode? The gentleman from Ed. Tom
Cavanaugh.
Tom Cavanaugh, thank you. Like he was just brilliant as him.
Yeah. Yeah. The creepiness was just so high.
Yeah.
You know. This one is more like he's a little more menacing, like the OG. Like he's a little more like aggressive, I guess, the intent than creepy. I don't know how to say it, but I guess so he's gonna be a villain.
Different kind of level. Yeah, I think that's accurate.
He's going to be a villain in Legends of Tomorrow season 2. So I guess now that explains where he came from. They just kind of put that in there.
I heard that groan.
Yeah.
it was more like a punch to the stomach.
It was involuntary.
It was. I didn't do that on purpose. It was a memory punch. You hit me in the face with words.
I mean, he and the rest of, like him and several other villains are doing the Legion of Doom thing on there. Oh, I don't know if you heard that, but yeah.
No.
Oh, that's pretty awesome. I might be in on that.
Are they going to have Black Mamba? Manta. Black Manta.
I was like, what? They're going to have Kobe Bryant as a villain? What?
I thought. Billy. Kobe. Oh, no, Mamba's out.
Damn it.
Shaquille O'Neal and Kobe Bryant as the villains.
I would watch the shit out of that, and it would be better than the entire season 1.
Hang on, listen, we got Black Mamba and the mass hole. We're onto something here.
Wow.
There's no way whatever's coming in Justice League from next year could be half as good as that.
No shit. But, why does the Flash have to wear armor?
Armor?
Yeah, the Justice League, they have to wear armor. Yeah.
Because Zack Snyder said they had to.
God damn it.
You'd think he'd wear the least armor because he has to run.
Yeah, exactly.
But,
yeah,
I don't know. I don't know. There's bad armor, again. I saw that.
Yeah.
We're all really unexcited for this movie, aren't we?
I want to be excited. I just, I'm,
I know,
I'm,
right?
I'm withholding like, judgment.
I'll say this: they're doing the comics right. Anymore.
They're doing the comics right. You said,
yeah.
You're enjoying Rebirth. It sounds like
I'm enjoying the hell out of Rebirth.
That's cool.
Like most of the comics.
Well, that's where they actually let Geoff Johns do things.
Yeah, man. I mean, Superman's good. Batman's good. A lot of them. Green Lantern.
Yeah.
Wonder Woman was good. Aquaman's still shit, but you know, you want consistency.
He has more hair than Wonder Woman in this new film. I don't know how I feel about that.
Oh God.
I mean, brother Samoan, but so what's he gonna do? But all right. So that brings us to number four, Arrow.
They went back to basics.
Yeah, they did. It
still
feels so good.
Killed off Felicity.
Are you wanting for her? Are you eager for that?
Yes. She's become like this a nag.
Really?
She was like when they were
in a relationship.
I feel like she's nagging him now. She's harassing him about starting up another team.
Yeah,
it's like they found a role for her, you know, other than just miracling whatever science they happen to need or whatever intel they happen to need, and she can hack any system no matter where it is on the planet. But now they have her also nagging him, and it started last season, and I'm disappointed to see that they're continuing.
It started in season three.
I guess I didn't notice it until last season.
She grilled the hell out of him when he came up with that plan to infiltrate the League of Assassins.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah,
that's when it started. They don't work as a relationship, and I think if they have the smarts to do it, they'll just make that the kind of their story. They are partners, but they're not. They shouldn't be romantically involved. That's not what they can do.
Episode one. Who the hell was she with? Do we know that person yet?
No idea.
Okay.
I thought we saw him earlier in the episode.
Did? Where?
I thought we did too, but I couldn't remember where.
Wasn't it someone that Speedy talked to regarding mayor type stuff?
Huh.
Maybe?
Yeah.
I didn't recognize him.
I want to give her a quick shout out though, the actress, not Felicity, the character, just for eating. I think she looks great. No, I noticed there was a particular scene where she was kind of sitting away where you could see like she had some weight to her arms. And I know that sounds like a weird thing to compliment someone on, but I'm tired of like Ralph and Hollywood actresses being the only thing we see anymore.
Hmm.
And I just really appreciated that.
Yeah, how about realistic body types? That would be nice.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean you know, she's still slender and you know, gorgeous, but
yeah.
She's obviously not like an underwear model.
I think Speedy's one of the best actors on the show.
Willa Holland.
Well, I'm gonna disagree there. But pretty continue.
Oh, I just think from where she started and what she was doing to what she's her acting now, I think she's definitely the most improved.
Yeah, she was really good in that opening episode.
I think it's nice to show. I mean, maybe part of that's the writing too. Like, they, whatever the faults of Arrow from beginning to now, like that, her character has matured somewhat,
and yeah.
You can see it. Like, she's like more of a grown up now than she was in season one. Mm-hmm. I think part of that is the actress kind of showing that, but also, you know, some of the writing, you know, and that it's nice to like have seen that character kind of. Even though some of the evolution was a little bit crazy there for a while with the whole Lazarus Pit stuff,
at least
she kind of grew up, and you can kind of tell. So she's a more nuanced character now than she was early on.
They gave her some serious young adult crap to deal with in that first episode, and she killed it.
Yeah,
she did a really good job.
Yeah, I agree with that for sure.
Is Diggle out?
I'm sure he'll come back by the end. They just needed to give him a new outfit, like a new mask.
God, yes.
Maybe they're still working on it. They're keeping him at bay because they're still working on it. They can't quite figure it out for some reason.
Yeah, Black Magneto was taken.
That was the worst.
Wow.
That was just the worst.
That helmet. Oh my God.
Yeah.
Just give him a Batman cowl.
Well, they, and there wasn't like any like good reason for it. It's like, here, here's something that will like impair you visually.
Yeah.
And yeah. will increase your chances of getting a concussion. What? All right. Who made this? This is horrible.
And you know, the flashbacks were better.
Yes, they really were.
Yeah. Finally, the Russian arc appears.
Yeah.
What took them so long? That's some good shit. That's a that's a just a mine
they
of
wanted,
stuff.
They wanted to wax poetic about magic for a season.
In Providence, Mr. Queen. Yeah, that guy fucking forever.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah, no, it was excellent, and I'm looking forward to it. You guys know Dolph Lundgren is the guy he's looking for, right?
No, I didn't know that. Holy smokes.
Say what?
Dolph Lundgren is the boss he's after.
Huh.
He's after Drago, guys.
No shit.
Yep.
Hopefully he'll say, I will break you at some point.
Oh, hell yeah.
They gotta go there, right?
They got to, right?
Well, they're doing all the rest of the Batman plots. I hope he picks him up and breaks his back.
Oh,
Or have they already done that?
No, he hasn't done that. There's been no Azrael equivalent.
That's coming, though.
I guess so, yeah, you're right.
We get the vigilante.
Yeah.
I wonder if that, maybe that's who Felicity's seeing, who's shacking up with. She has like a type, and she doesn't realize it.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
Would be interesting, in a way.
Well, anybody with a speaking part is going to have something.
So is that...
So
is
it, thumbs up or thumbs down on Arrow?
Up for me.
Both thumbs enthusiastically up. Brought me back in. I was really...
I was really despondent
by season four.
Oh, okay. I'm still waiting. I'm holding my thumb to the side. Yeah. It sloped upwards, but not all the way up yet.
Okay, so run with that for me for a second. What are you still waiting on?
Consistently good, and not one episode to try.
Okay,
to
that's fair.
Everything.
Okay,
I think anybody can come back and say, okay, we got to make it more realistic, and then they go right back to the same old shit.
Well, I don't even know that it's realistic. I mean, unless you think, you know, firing a bow and arrow to ride from a helicopter is realistic, but I enjoyed the hell out of it. It's grounded
relative to the magic shit.
Right. Yeah. I mean, he's a Batman guy. He should do Batman type adventures.
Right. There's a reason there's not a bunch of great Batman mystical stories.
No, exactly. Keep Providence out of the city. That's my.
I do like when Batman teams up with Etrigan. That would have been cool to see. They didn't do it, but
yeah, if you know, and they tried to do a poor man's version of like Constantine, and even they didn't really get that one right. But that
was the best episode from last year.
Yeah,
that's the one where they fixed the White Canary, right?
Yes.
You know, the two things that impressed me about these shows is the density of storytelling. Like, a lot of shit happens in 45 minutes.
You're right.
Yeah.
They burn through plot.
They did a whole universe on Flashpoint.
Yeah, I was with you that I was disappointed that we didn't spend more time there, but I was also impressed that they told so much story.
Yeah, I can see that.
In an episode.
I'm happy they have enough story to tell, you know?
Yeah.
But Arrow felt real formulaic last year, and it really didn't seem like it knocked out a lot of real anything happening.
It didn't.
It just felt like a car stuck in the mud.
A lot of these shows are laboring under the idea of the Buffy the Vampire Slayer big bad. Not every character can carry 20 hours worth of story as far as in the antagonist role.
Yeah.
And when that's the case, trying to shoehorn them in just doesn't work. And that was one of the chief problems with Damian Dark.
Yeah, they should have just thought about it more like comic book runs, like 6-7 episodes with a villain, then move on to something else and kind of tackle maybe a theme through, let's say, three or four arcs rather, you know, runs than mm-hmm. have this one big bad that overarches the whole thing.
I mean, sometimes it works brilliantly. Like Jessica Jones wrote Kilgrave for 13 brilliant episodes.
Yeah.
But Melissa Rosenberg, the showrunner for that show, has already said in season two they're not going to do that again.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We're going to have several. They're going to have several antagonists that show.
Have they had as good an antagonist since Deathstroke?
Not so far, I want to say no.
Yeah, me neither. I wouldn't mind them bringing him back.
The act, Montero Bennett or something like that? Mantu Bennett?
Manu Bennett.
Manu, thank you. I was trying to throw a T in there for some reason. He is on MTV's Genre Chronicles, so he may not be available.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
There's also a weird edict to not use Deathstroke because of Suicide Squad, the film. So we may not see him for a while.
Yeah.
I never saw Suicide Squad. He's in that?
Oh, no, excuse me. I'm crossing my characters. I'm thinking of Deadshot. But
right, right.
But he's, that's in the new, he's in the new Batman. Deathstroke.
Correct. That's right. Batman. Yeah.
Ah, you're right.
Yeah. My understanding is the early drafts of the Batman, as it's apparently not titled, it came out.
Right.
It's Deathstroke not is the guy. Batman? That's just the working title.
Oh. Damn it. I was so hopeful. Now they're going to go and slap some extra suffixes and shit in there. Oh, damn it. We need more hyphens and colons.
Yep. It's like that old fucking country pop song from back when.
Oh, I am depressed.
I think that's actually the subtitle.
Batman, I am depressed.
So was there a favorite in those openers, guys? Who won the first week of fall?
Luke Cage. Oh, I haven't seen.
But see, that first episode wasn't that strong.
Well, yeah, but the thing is, Luke Cage didn't play it on the same field because they had all the episodes out. So if you ask me, the week, Luke Cage, because it didn't have to be just the first episode. You could get all the way to 11, it sounds like.
That's fair.
Yeah, I mean, of the CW shows, to me, The Flash, I enjoyed more.
Yeah.
I would say.
I mean, I'm despondent for season two of League of Legends or whatever it's called. Legends. I cannot tell you how much I hate that show. I hate it so much I watch it.
Yeah, I was like, why are you watching it then?
I gave up on Gotham, but for some reason this is so bad.
Oh, it's a train wreck phenomenon.
Yeah, it's a train wreck. I can sit there and go, you know, I could do better than this. I really could. With nothing but a piece of paper and a pencil, I could do better with those characters and what they do. They're their own worst enemies.
Yeah, they are. Yeah, I agree with that.
They are the cause of, I think, every single problem that they faced last season. And the world would do best to have them die.
Wow.
Honestly, I can't, you know, what would make me a fan is if future legends, the same actors playing older characters, were to show up and try and kill themselves.
That's some paradoxical shit right there.
Exactly. At some point, they have an epiphany that they are shit, which would be brilliant, because that ought to be the final episode of the whole series, because it would tie back to the very beginning when the guy said, oh, no, y'all are legends, y'all are the scrubs, but I got to take you because the good ones are taken up. So I'm taking you guys. That was literally how they started the show, and it would be a great, like, echoing moment to have your final episode kind of, you know, reiterate that they're still shit and they got to kill themselves. I wrote that just right now. That just happened.
Yeah, it sounds like you did too.
Yeah, it would be better. Yeah, it sounds like shit. I know it sounds like shit. It's still better shit than what they're shitting now. Mark my words. I'm not making you watch it.
I'm trying to get you to watch Westworld.
Oh, yeah. You don't have to try and get me. That's.
It hurts me that the only thing on AMC you watch is The Walking Dead.
Is Westworld on AMC?
No, but Breaking Bad and Mad Men were, and those are brilliant.
Oh, those are on the list, too. Yeah. I just haven't watched them yet. Ugh. I've also got, what was it, Driftwood? Deadwood?
Deadwood.
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 I want to see one called Driftwood now.
I need to watch Deadwood also.
I've got it on the list, so I've got to hit that one.
Yeah.
Driftwood would be an awesome spin-off series where one of the Deadwood characters just drifts down the Mississippi River and like fucks shit up along the Mississippi River. That would be awesome. There you go.
Ian McShane is like a pirate. All right, I'm in.
They already tried that though, didn't they?
Oh yeah, he was Davy Jones, right?
No, he was
Blackbeard.
Blackbeard,
me.
I think.
That's
I
right.
Say. Yeah.
You know, we're mocking it, and rightfully so, but I'm hearing early buzz that Pirates 5 flick that's coming out, I think, next year is apparently really good.
Oh, the trailer looked great.
Yeah? Oh, is it out? I hadn't even seen it.
Me neither.
Really? Oh, yeah. It looked real good.
Is it Dead Men Tell No Tales? Is that the...
Yeah, it's a teaser. So, yeah.
Pirates of the Caribbean. I am depressed.
Oh, yeah. It was dark enough. I wasn't going to show it to my kids. Speaking of trailers, did you guys see the teaser for Power Rangers?
No, not yet.
I'm realizing that I should have watched trailers before we shot this episode because a lot of them have come out recently and then I haven't seen.
I can't believe it, but it was really good. And I don't like the Power Rangers. They've been around for 20 years plus and I've never been a fan, but I watched that trailer and I was like, son of a gun. It looks like they're trying to, you know, do with Power Rangers what they did with Iron Man. They're trying to treat it real.
Yeah. Hmm. It's got some impressive acting cred.
Yeah, there's some spots in the trailer that made me go, oh god, but then there's other parts that are so good it makes up well more than makes up.
Yeah. It was a little past my time. I wasn't the right age for it. I don't think any of us were, but I really respected what he was trying to do. I mean, it was a smorgasbord of all these other things that had come out in the 80s that were awesome and they just put them all together.
Yeah, and partially from borrowed Japanese footage because that's where the rights come from. So culturally, even it was an interesting mix.
Well, y'all need to check that one out because it actually looked good.
Okay,
Supergirl. Supergirl comes out next week.
Yeah,
the first appearance of Superman.
Yeah, finally they stop just having him be a pair of boots or a CGI.
He's always standing in the sun,
or a body on a slab in a morgue.
Yeah. Well, that's what I meant. They just have him like, they just have a, when he's on a slab in the morgue, they just show his boots. They don't show his face. I don't know. I hope, I mean, I binged the first season recently to kind of prepare for season two. And it was cheesy in places, in a lot of places.
Yeah.
It got better over time, I feel. I feel like they kind of felt more at home with the characters, the actors almost.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I'm watching that one with my kids.
Yeah, that one's much better.
Yeah, I think that's what it comes down to. I just think it skews younger.
Maybe you're right.
But it's killing it. I'm actually kind of curious how they're going to keep from like having like, what's the word I'm looking for? You bring in an actor or bring in a character that's more popular than your main character and then you don't have them there anymore. I'm kind of curious. You know, the kids are going to always be like, Where's Superman?
They should never have like had him. They should have just done something else to bring her to Earth. Like that whole thing just like really just logistically screwed them up, I think.
Yeah, that's tough.
Without Superman to be a foil to, she becomes something else, though.
She can be her own character.
Right.
I mean,
why not?
You know?
Well, in that case, I think you just go you make your series Power Girl, right?
Okay,
and you break
sure.
out the green CGI bra.
I knew where you were going.
And we're back.
Melissa Benoist is just pissed all the time.
But I mean that they I feel like they missed an opportunity to really make that character her own out of the shadow of Superman, like completely.
Yeah.
But maybe that was part of the pressure, like maybe DC or WB or whatever was like, no, it must be this way.
No. I think she's probably the biggest character available to them.
Uh-huh.
I mean, you know, jokes aside, Power Girl is an alternate reality Supergirl, so there's problems with that as well. And, you know, Wonder Woman's going to be a big part of their film slate, unless they fuck that up too.
Yeah.
So I think after that, I'm sure, I mean, I know there's characters there, but they're just not particularly well known.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Meanwhile, Green Lantern continues to wallow in the sidelines.
Well, they made that bed.
They put baby in the corner.
I know, but they could have tried to to you know, they have many Green Lanterns in the DC universe.
Until they stop making their films by committee, they're just not going to work.
I guess so.
I mean, that's just the lesson here from the movie.
Yeah, it needs that Guardians of the Galaxy touch, I think, Green Lantern. And from one person to kind of just have that vision for what it should be.
Yeah, I think that would work. Don't get me wrong, but I think Green Lantern is malleable enough. You could go a number of different ways and not be incorrect.
Yeah, I guess I meant like they let the, what's the director of the Guardians of the Galaxy?
Is Martin Campbell.
Really? No, he's Green Lantern, right?
Yes, I'm sorry. You said Guardians of the Galaxy.
Gunn.
I'm totally listening. Yeah. I swear to God.
Yeah, so Alex Gunn, like, you know, he wrote and directed the movie. Like, just having someone like that has a vision doesn't have to be the same vision as Guardians of the Galaxy or the same feel of it. But just one person that is going to, like, basically populate an entire universe that's, like, consistent with itself, like, doing that by committee, I think, is just, I don't know, pretty hard.
Yeah, no, it messed up Green Lantern, it messed up Suicide Squad, it messed up the Superman sequel, which became Batman versus Superman somehow, and it's just, ugh, enough, enough.
Well, one can hope that the future is brighter than that. Than
well, gotta get Snyder some Crayolas first.
Oh.
But I'm on the hope side of it. I'm hoping that they let Patty Jenkins make her movie. You know?
Huh.
We'll see if that's the case or not.
What's she making?
Wonder Woman.
Ah. Yeah, we'll see.
I like what I've seen of it thus far, but you can usually find 2 minutes of good footage in any film.
Yeah.
I call this the There's Something About Mary principle.
Oh, wow.
Fuck that movie forever. That film was a lie.
How did I not know that you hated this film? I got to know. What was it? Of all the films that we have seen,
it's not
deserve the moniker of fuck you forever.
That movie is not funny. I mean, that's just kind of... And it also started the whole things that are gross are inherently funny thing. That's not true.
Yeah, I agree.
It ruined comedy in Hollywood for like a decade. And I've still never really gotten over it.
Clearly.
It's my Iris West. What do you want from me?
Oh, there you go. Or your Legends of Tomorrow.
Oh, I understand.
My League of Legends of Tomorrow. Yeah, there you go.
Oh, I hate that show. I understand. I know what you mean.
I'm just fascinated you hate watch it. That's incredible.
I do. Well, you know, there's good moments. You know, what was his name? Iceman. What was his name?
Damn it. Val Kilmer?
No.
Sean Ashmore.
Yes. No. The ice guy. Cold.
Captain
Dr.
Cold.
Freeze. Captain Cold.
Jesus.
We should not go on $25,000 pyramid together.
he was the best part of that show. So, of course, they killed him off.
I thought Snart was on all the shows.
Yeah, he's coming back. He's part of the Legion.
He is?
Yeah, he's part of the Legion.
Yes.
Of Doom.
No
he
shit.
And John Barrowman and Katie Cassidy have like 4 show contracts.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, John Barrowman is also like Malcolm Merlin's also the Legion of Doom along with Reverse Flash.
Christ almighty God.
And Damian Dark. Oh. Don't forget Damian Dark. He's still around.
Oh, Jesus.
That's time travel.
Oh,
oh
no.
Man. This is the worst thing ever.
Wow.
I don't know if I can take it. It's like they're combining the powers of the crappiest parts of the shows into one super shit show. It's incredible. They are the Legion of Doom. They nailed it.
Do you guys remember Jonathan Hickman's Fantastic Four run where he had the Parliament of Dooms?
Yes.
Vaguely, yeah.
I'm picturing like Keyshawn's worst nightmare is like the Parliament of Iris West.
Yes.
It's just like 52 Iris West from across the multiverse.
You know, the funny,
they're
the
just
funny
annoying
thing
as
is,
shit.
What I was saying though was that the Iris West from this particular Flashpoint, I liked her.
It's Earth 1 Iris West you don't like.
Yes, yes. Every time they come up with a variant Iris West, it's better than the original. All of them.
Do you think that's why they're coming up with so many variants?
Yeah, it's got to be.
Well, it's a comic book. A variant. It's all about the variants.
Yeah.
They sell.
Key, I have not been reading comics, and you have been. Tell me about them.
Oh, yes, I have. So I went on vacation and was on a long, long flight, and I read all the comics. I pretty much – I say that only half kidding. I think I really did read almost all the comics.
I love it.
Yeah, so I'm now completely caught up on all events and all the comics.
Wow.
And, man. It's hard to know where to start. Let me think here for a second. Let me pull up my list. You know, the big event of the year, Civil War.
Civil War II? Yeah.
Yeah. Civil War II. It's crap.
Civil War II is bad?
Yeah.
Okay. I it seemed like it would be.
I think they forced it to try and have something going on in the comics while the movie was coming out. So it's nothing more than just, you know, marketing driven. Yeah. We got to tell a story, and they've kind of they just came up with something. There are elements of it that are good. But you know, the interesting thing to me is it seems almost obvious to anybody that's really looking that they're running out of their contracts with the actors for the first row of movies. And so they're now teeing up stories and comics on their second tier so they can start developing new movies with actors for those stories. And so
this has been a popular theory as to why we're seeing a lot of those main guys being recast with different people as well.
Yes.
Sam Wilson, Captain America.
Yeah. The new
Ironheart.
Ironheart. Yeah, and the funny thing is, I'm not saying this. The part that I think supports this is that the best art and the best stories are being taken away from almost all those original ones and being put over in Black Panther, The Ultimates, Vision. Let's see what else. New Avengers really isn't that good.
It's because the Avengers aren't in it anymore.
Right, exactly. Yeah, it's kind of a B-team Avengers.
Yeah.
A lot of young people. There are elements of it that are
okay. They would have learned really to not do that over the time.
They're just not throwing the talent at it.
But man, Black Panther is...
In terms of IP or creators?
Creators.
Okay.
But Black Panther's really good.
Yeah.
Vision is incredible. Has anybody else been reading that?
I've heard that. That's Charles Soule, right?
Yeah, I believe so.
I've heard Vision is really good, actually. Yeah,
it's amazing.
That's good to hear, though. I'll give it a look then.
I would have never guessed.
Yeah,
and watching it, I say watching it because it's like a movie almost. It's incredible. And Ultimates is really well done too. It's kind of taking the intergalactic element of the Marvel Universe, and they're really knocking it out with that one. I'm trying to think of the other good ones. I'm talking about Marvel here. It's kind of hard because there's not as many good Marvel ones that are just knocking it out right now.
That's the impression I've been getting. That's kind of a shame.
International Iron Man is great.
Bendis.
I mean, whatever writer they got.
Bendis.
Is that Bendis on International?
Yeah. He writes all Iron Man right now.
It's him. Okay. I think it's him and Maliv, right?
Yeah, I want to say so.
The old Daredevil team.
That one is brilliant. Yeah. I mean, it sounds just like Tony Stark from the movies. I mean, it's obviously that's what they're doing, but I mean, they really did it right, and it's better than the main Invincible Iron Man's by a damn sight. I read that Dark Knight, a true Batman story. That was pretty good. Kind of depressing.
I've not even heard of that.
Me neither.
Really? Oh, this is the story. Hang on, I'm trying to look at the cover so I can tell who wrote it. Oh, Paul Dini.
Oh, geez.
A couple of years ago, he was mugged.
I have heard of this. Okay.
Yeah.
That's yeah. right. It, okay, and, it's like a part biography. Yeah,
it's all biography, really.
Yeah.
But it's really good. I mean, it's a good read, but it didn't like your typical comic for, by any sense of the imagination. See, I'm looking at Marvel Comics here. Inhuman shit, Shield shit.
They're pimping IVX hardcore. Are you guys excited for it?
What?
Inhumans versus X-Men.
Oh no, not really. Yeah. Neither one of those have been that good.
Have you so on the comics topic?
Yeah.
Warren Ellis.
Yes.
He has been tapped to reboot, reinstate the Wildstorm universe.
Uh-huh.
And oversee all of it.
Have you been reading his Karnak?
I haven't, but that's on my list. I just finished his first arc of James Bond.
Ah.
I also wanted to plug because...
Was that as rad as I would have thought it would be?
Hell yeah. And it is a very... It's a different James Bond than you would imagine. But boy, was it good.
I bet.
Okay.
Yeah. And I've heard Karnak is amazing, and it comes out like... It's like once in a blue moon.
Right.
Karnak comes out. So I've been kind of holding off, wanting to see like the full thing, but I may just jump into it anyway because people have been raving about it.
Oh, the funny thing is like... I guess other creators are reading it, and it's like built up. Karnak is like when Karnak shows up, it's like if Batman walks in a room, you know, like, oh shit, it's Karnak, you know, that kind of thing. Whereas that's before, really cool. He would have been one of the herd of Inhumans that is just roaming around in any given page, right?
Yeah.
And now it's you'll be reading a different book, you know, whether it's Avengers or Guardians of the Galaxy or something, and if Karnak shows up, then it's like, oh shit, here we go, you know. So that's how good that's been. So yeah, I'm pumped. Anything Warren Ellis, even if he's just overseeing it, that's brilliant. I can't wait for more. Yeah.
I mean, if we're gonna get a new Authority again and more Midnighter stories, and man alive.
Yeah, but again, he's overseeing. How much of that is going to be actually writing?
Yeah, but maybe if the look and feel or like the motivations of the characters, if it's got him as the central part of the DNA, I hope it turns out to be good.
Oh, I hope so. Yeah, that'd be nice if he's part of the DNA. You're right.
I'd be more hopeful if Wildstorm hadn't been rebooted 12 times already in my lifetime.
sure.
That's true.
You get a few good ones in there. You get a few good ones every time.
But I will say,
it's true.
I will say, I started with Marvel because that was kind of the lower tier so far this summer, mm-hmm. other than the ones I mentioned, particularly Vision. But DC has been just knocking it out. And, you know, I'm most of the time DC's crap, but
the time. It just, the new 52 recently. Just was just a failure though. I mean, let's put a fork in it.
Yeah. But what they're doing with Superman and his son, that's a really good storyline so far. Batman and kind of where they're taking him is interesting and good as usual. But some of the side characters, Green Arrow, hot damn.
Really? Man,
the best part is it really seems to just be like, okay, New 52's done. Fuck all that. Here we go. And it's just like just resetting every – I don't want to say hitting a reset button. It's more like it's like bringing up a save game from 5 years ago when Green Arrow was good, and they're bringing up that old save game and picking up right where it left off and just going. And it's freaking great.
That was my understanding is what they were trying to do across the whole line. It was just like, let's just make these good again.
Yeah, yeah.
Whatever that fucking takes.
Great again.
Yeah, yeah. Flash is interesting.
It'll be huge.
Wonder Woman was good. Man, I actually have a couple of things going on with Wonder Woman that looked good.
You're making me start to want to pick up a lot of comics, man.
Yeah, I know. Well, particularly to make somebody want to pick up a DC comic. I mean, that's a tough road to hoe. And, I mean, the Wonder Woman stories, again, they're just started. So we're like literally 2, 3, 4, 5 comics into the rebirth now. And so we haven't gotten to like a full comprehensive storyline, but everything that's going on right now seems really interesting. The art's good. It's not, you can tell the ones like the Avengers is a good example. The all new Avengers, you can tell they're not putting their best artists on it, and the writing is crap too. And so you really just aren't getting much of anything there. You can tell where the talent's being put. DC's doing the same thing.
Would you guys like to know why?
Sure.
No, I traverse these circles a little bit. I know what's going on. They're being underpaid, and they're all leaving for Image books. That they own and make more money on. All the good artists are still in the industry. They just don't work for the big two anymore.
Oh. Huh. What about the writers?
They become, by virtue of the fact that they can do more work, they tend to split their time. They write their own books, and they also have their Marvel and DC work.
Okay.
Brubaker is still cranking out work, not just Westworld, but it's all creator owned.
Yeah, I've seen that. Hmm. And his Twitter feed is brilliant.
No, is it?
Yeah, I love it. Well, I mean, he's kind of heavy into the political stuff, but the stuff he posts is funny as hell.
Oh, that's right. And Rucka is back on Wonder Woman, circling back to what you said earlier, right?
Yes, I believe so.
That's what I was trying to remember. I was like, I remember thinking Wonder Woman sounded like it had a good lineup. Hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, it's Rucka again.
Yeah, yeah. They actually put their it's Rucka and Nicola Scott who put their creator-owned book on hold to come to do Wonder Woman for a year.
I imagine the threat of having a movie going along with it was good to entice them.
There's that. And, well, I think that's why they tried to get them, because they're, you know, Greg is, I think, regarded as the best Wonder Woman writer of the last 10 years, and probably rightfully so. And they knew they had the film coming out, so they were like, we got to make sure this book is good. And so they basically, and the deal was, they said there was just very little editorial interference.
Huh.
So that was all he really, I think he really needed to hear to come back to it.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I should go back and say Old Man Logan's good. Mm. But that is one of the good Marvel ones.
Have you guys seen Wolverine 3 is going to be called Logan?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to that film. I don't know why.
Did you see the poster?
Yeah, I did.
You know that little hand? That was Ryan Reynolds' hand.
These claws feel huge.
Huge.
No, I stole that. Ryan Reynolds actually posted the poster, and he said that on Twitter. That's my hand.
Ryan Reynolds is the best. Reynolds.
Oh, yes. Yeah, absolutely.
He's great.
He already has my heart.
Quick question before we wrap this one up. Something I've been thinking about, and since we're talking about comics, it's as good a time as any. I was just curious who you guys thought were like the quintessential artists for these different characters.
Oh, man.
Oh, shit.
You know what I mean? Like, you know, if say you're the editor, you know, who is the Superman artist? Who is the Batman guy? Who's the X-Men artist? Oh, you'd go Miller on Batman?
Yep, still.
Hmm.
Man. There's been a lot of good ones. I would lean towards Neil Adams.
That's what I was going to say. Jim Lee for X-Men, right? I mean, he just redefined.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jim works with a lot of these characters, though.
It's good all around, man. He can make
Jim can fucking draw. That's just
Jesus.
And speaking of following these guys on social media, his Instagram is fantastic.
Really?
Yeah, high marks there.
Cool. I'll check it out.
Hey, did you guys hear that the Runaways have a TV show coming out?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Hot damn.
That should be good.
I certainly hope so. But yeah. I'll be more enthusiastic if it was Netflix. I don't know why.
Because they have a track record of quality so far.
Yeah.
Testify. How many 11s are we going to see at Halloween this year?
Oh,
I'm going as 11.
That's because you already have the.
That's a good answer.
I'm bald. Damn right. Look, you got to find the best bald character you can be that's relevant when you're
just
bald.
Just carry a box of Eggos around.
Yes.
See, Keyshawn, this is why you need to watch Breaking Bad. You'd be Walter White.
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
No, but he's not relevant anymore. That would have been good 3 or 4 years
ago. No, it's super relevant.
Look, if I could convince all of my family to be the various Stranger Things characters, I would do that in a heartbeat. I'd be 11. You'd have my wife as the mom walk around with Christmas lights.
Wow.
I don't know which son would wear the bandana and the camouflage. And we'd just ride around on bikes looking awesome all night. Killing motherfucking clowns. That's what we would be doing.
What, right now, don't the clowns kill you?
No, man. I'm hunting clowns come October 31st.
Oh, man.
It's an open carry state where I live, motherfuckers. Wow. I see a clown. I mean, I will tell you God's honest truth. When I come across an article that says clown shot in head or clown hit with baseball bat, I am cheering these days. I'm like, hell yes. That's smart. Good job, America.
Wow.
Explain that? I'm confused.
If there's crazy homicidal maniacs trying to scare the shit out of people and threatening kids and all that stuff dressing as clowns, you've heard about all that stuff, right?
Of course.
Okay. Well, if I, God forbid I come across one.
I got you.
Man, I'm going to fuck some shit up if I see a clown that's 6'5".
You know who else is bald, though, Key? Luke Cage.
Damn straight. But you want to talk about getting your ass beat real quick.
Yeah, inappropriate.
If I walk around the neighborhood in blackface, I'd get my ass kicked. I'd be the first one kicking my own ass if I did that.
Oh, God.
But you know, it's a good idea that I could just get a hoodie and just say I'm White Luke Cage. What would White Luke Cage's name be?
Lucas.
There you go.
Cage a witch. And he says he just goes, "Cage a witch. A Merry White Christmas."
Oh, man. Oh, no.
This is the worst, right?
I'm going to have to get a hoodie.
Oh, man.
I could almost pull that off. Hey, you know, I did do a public service this week. I got a text message from a friend that has two daughters.
Three clowns.
And, and they wanted to be a superhero character with a cat theme, but the only one they knew of was Catwoman. And they asked me if I knew any others. And I brought the thunder, gentlemen.
I think the felines are well represented within the superhero milieu.
Absolutely. I wanted to hear what y'all thought. I went with I recommended a few, but Shadow Cat and Black Cat were the top two because those aren't
Black Panther. There's Cat King.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Tigra, Hellcat. Mm-hmm. I didn't suggest Hellcat
because there's all the Thundercats.
Yep, I suggested all. Wait a minute, all the Thundercats. They're not all women.
Oh, they have to be women.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, girls.
Okay. You neglected to mention that part.
Sorry, that's okay. Yeah, so female superhero cat character.
So is this like a theme party? What's happening? Why is this happening?
It's Halloween.
Oh, okay.
Children dress up and ask for candy.
Right, tell me more.
October 31st. It's a tradition.
Interesting. Interesting.
Well, the parents.
Is there a manger? I don't understand. In all seriousness, I was trying to figure out why they just want to be female cats people.
They just like cats, and they like superheroes, and they were looking for options.
Okay,
guys, I am about to run out of battery.
All right, no, I was thinking it's about time to call this one a close. Ariel Rodriguez of Austin, Texas, thank you for being here.
Thank you very much for having me, sir.
What's going on at Yes, You Are a Writer?
Yeah, we're in season two now, and we're talking about the kind of editing process and getting your book, manuscript, what have you, out into the world and into the publishing space. So that's what we're covering season two. Episode 6 should be out on, let's say, Wednesday.
Nice. Keyshawn Xavier, also of Austin, Texas.
Indeed.
Thank you for your service and our war against the clowns.
Fighting a good fight.
Damn right. America.
Any good clown murders you'd like to plug as well?
There was a really good one in Georgia.
Oh, I've been Cyrus Mordozovi. You can find me at riseagainproductions.tumblr.com. That is my hub site. Full of Sound and Fury podcast is available at fullofsoundandfury.com or via subscription to iTunes and or SoundCloud. This has been a Rise Again production, copyright 2016. Thanks for listening.
Hey, kids!